This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. Now we are going to be looking at the developments in Myanmar and really a follow-up on what has been a very difficult few weeks for them, as well in the face of a lot of international pressure. And we're looking at what impact these sanctions might have on the situation there.
Yes. So just to give some context and background to this, we covered it at the time, but we have not followed up since. On the 1st of February, the Myanmar military overthrew Aung San Suu Kyi's elected government, claiming that the National League for Democracy's win in the November 8th election was fraudulent, although the Election Commission denied this. And they essentially detained the leaders of the elected government and civilian officials and declared a one-year state of emergency. It all happened very quickly. It was really sort of almost the platonic ideal of what a coup looks like.
Mm. And I think one thing that's significant in the last, this time around at least, compared to the other takeovers by the military junta in the past, is the internet, right? And despite the fact that the internet has been cracked down in many parts of Myanmar, we have been seeing images of the sorts of violent measures that the security forces have resorted to, particularly against protesters who are pro-democracy protesters. So according to the activist group, the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners, at least 250 people have been killed by security forces that were quelling these protests. 2,665 people have been arrested, charged, or sentenced for taking part in these protests. A lot of these are young people. You know, we've been seeing images of crowds of protesters, peaceful protesters, being shot at for dispersal. Martial law has been implemented in townships across two cities, Yangon and Mandalay. And as I mentioned, the internet has been severely cut in many spaces. And this, of course, affects the protesters' ability to organize.
Yeah, and part of why this has been so interesting has been the international response or lack thereof in some instances. So on Monday, the EU imposed sanctions on 11 individuals and groups linked to the coup, particularly the commander-in-chief of the Myanmar military, as well as the acting president. This includes travel bans and asset freezes. It's the most significant responses from the EU so far. And diplomats have told Reuters that they are likely to toughen measures soon, banning EU investors and banks from doing business with parts of the military's conglomerates. The US has already sanctioned Myanmar, expanded the list of targets on Monday. And on Friday, Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Malaysian Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin called for an emergency ASEAN summit on Myanmar. And it is significant, and I think we are going to focus quite a bit on ASEAN, in no small part because of, well, we're here, we're a part of it, mm-hmm. But also because of the non-interference promise that has always marked what it means to the spirit of ASEAN, for better or for worse. And I think in this instance, we are seeing what for worse can mean.
Yeah, and I think that call for action or to release a statement is also coming on the wake of things like the Milk Tea Alliance, things like the internet. Increasingly, it feels like not saying anything or non-interference may not be what the people want. So let us know what your thoughts are. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now crossing over to Aaron Connolly, Research Fellow at the International Institute for Strategic Studies. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Aaron, so these new sanctions from the US and the EU, they were slapped on top of the police and military commanders in Myanmar. What impact do you foresee these having?
Not very much. An extremely cautious set of sanctions. These are not been sanctioned, for instance, by the United States. It did not include any of the military-owned companies, particularly the two big holding companies, which are known as MEC and MEL, and Myanmar Economic Holding Company and Myanmar Economic Holdings Limited. And so if the European Union sanctions won't have a particularly great effect. The United States designated two military units, including one light infantry brigade, which it had already designated sanctions in 2018, and then two individuals who, as you said, included the new police chief. The old police chief was fired right after the coup. It's not entirely clear. filling in the empty spot in terms of their sanctions programs.
How effective would you say the protests have been?
Well, I think there's been so much focus on the protests because that's what television cameras in particular and television networks like to show. They're very visible and they're very emotional. But the thing that is actually so effective and that is really bringing the military to its knees that I don't think people appreciate is the civil disobedience movement, which is a movement. It's primarily led by civil servants, and the public plays a very large role in Myanmar, to stop working. And so doctors, officers, ordinary government bureaucrats, and really critically bankers, including employees of private banks, as well as the Central Bank of Myanmar, have all stopped off the job. And so the financial sector, banks have basically been closed for the past. Almost impossible to get cash to anyone in Myanmar at this point. And it's looking very likely that the military will try to nationalize the banks in the next couple of days or weeks, and that may lead to a run on the banks and a run on the currency. So it's Myanmar people who, through their strike action and their tolerate real sort of extraordinary deprivation, are really bringing the junta to the precipice.
Aaron, the line is actually unfortunately quite bad. So what we're going to do is we're going to try calling you back again. Meanwhile, here's some messages. We'll be back shortly to discuss the situation in Myanmar. Keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is just coming up to 7:18. You're listening to The Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We're looking at the situation in Myanmar under the military junta, as well as the international pressures and how the international community is reacting. We do have on the line with us Aaron Connolly, research fellow at the International Institute for Strategic Studies. Aaron, thanks for coming back on. Hopefully, the line is better now.
Thank you. I hope so too.
So, getting into the protests that we were talking about earlier, there have been reports of Myanmar's security forces shooting at and even killing pro-democracy protesters. How has the international community reacted to this?
Yeah, independent organizations have verified over 200 homicides committed by security forces against protesters. And in addition, there are over 2,000 currently detained by security forces for political activity or for protesting. I think, you know, the international community has responded in an unusually unified manner for an issue related to Myanmar. It's usually very hard to get UN Security Council consensus on Myanmar, but we've seen two statements in the past 6 weeks, one right after the coup, 3 days after the coup, and then another one earlier this month. And that's actually only the eighth and ninth time that the Security Council has ever taken action on Myanmar. And so these are words, they're not actions, but there does seem to be an escalation ladder. And it seems likely that the international community will continue to escalate as the violence does.
So with that, then, if we look at international relations for Myanmar, how are they looking right now? Are they likely to still have allies, particularly strong ones, coming out of this coup?
Yeah, it's not looking good, and it's interesting. The many people tend to assume that the junta will have the same relationships this time around that the military had when it governed through the SPDC, the name of the previous junta, back in concluding in 2011. And it doesn't appear likely that that will be the case. The military has maintained fairly good relations with Thailand and with India. And there has been some activity on the North Korean front, which, of course, was it was a very active relationship back in the early 2000s. But if the military expected to have a good relationship with China, that hasn't developed yet. It's possible that China could still accommodate itself to the military and to, in particular, to Commander-in-Chief Min Aung Hlaing. But it hasn't yet. And Min Aung Hlaing has a particularly bad history with China. He really earned his stars fighting Kokang rebels, who he believes were supported by China in 2009, and then led another campaign against them in 2015. And he said as recently as last year that he believed that China was funding and arming rebels in the west of the country, a different rebel group. And so he's a particularly anti-China character. And so some of that may be coming from the Myanmar side as well. But we've seen more ASEAN action, more UN Security Council action, more G7 action in terms of condemning the coup and arguing for a return to democracy than we've seen when Myanmar has been on the international agenda in the past.
And what about ASEAN in terms of, you know, do you see this crisis leaking into ASEAN? And what more could ASEAN be doing?
Yeah, I think it will. And the worst case scenario right now is that Myanmar may actually turn into an Asian Syria. And so you have ethnic armed organizations, around 21, that actually under arms, have men under arms around the country. And there's always been low-intensity conflict in the periphery of the country. But what we're looking at right now is the possibility that that conflict will come to the center of Burma in a way that it hasn't really in a big way since 1948. And that might actually be very high-intensity conflict. And the humanitarian catastrophe that would result from that sort of scenario would certainly affect ASEAN. You would see millions of people streaming across the border with Thailand, getting on boats and seeking refuge in Malaysia and Indonesia. And so many of the issues that we've seen, particularly with the Rohingya over the last few years, that would be, you know, merely just a taste of what is to come from a situation in which Myanmar is at war with itself.
We do have a message from a listener, Karen, who says, I would want my government to actively do something to help the people of Myanmar, as I would the other ASEAN governments to take action if something like that happened in Malaysia. Aaron, how likely is this to happen, really, for the Malaysian government to take a stronger stance than what we've seen?
I think it's really important to distinguish between the situation in Malaysia today, which, you know, many in Malaysia have criticized the way that the state of emergency or the emergency ordinance was put into place, and what is happening in Myanmar today. What is happening in Myanmar is the overturning of the results of an election that was very clearly won by the NLD. There were some issues with that election, but there's no question as to who won the election. And the jailing of not just the leader of the Democratic movement in that country, but also 2,000 of her supporters and comrades, and the murder in the streets of 200 protesters. So I don't think they're really comparable situations, and I wouldn't want to comment on the likelihood of something like that happening in Malaysia, but just to say that they're very different situations.
Now, speaking of those protesters and you know, just that kind of passion that we're seeing from them, the resistance, how much have the pro-democracy movements within the region in the last few years, you know, the Milk Tea Alliance, for instance, how have these impacted what we're now seeing in Myanmar?
It's clear that some of the Myanmar protesters have taken inspiration, particularly from the protests in Thailand. And many of the protesters, although it's a relatively leaderless movement, have aligned themselves with other youths who have been demonstrating in Hong Kong and also in Indonesia. And so there's some connection between those four countries and protesters who are demonstrating for, you know, greater freedom, democracy, and rule of law against an establishment that they believe has ossified and has become out of step with the public. But again, I would just stress just how different things are in Myanmar, even than in, say, Hong Kong or Thailand. We haven't seen the level of violence in Hong Kong or Thailand that we're seeing in Myanmar right now. And the risk in Myanmar of a really high-intensity conflict, civil war with millions of refugees, is not something that has really been contemplated in Hong Kong or Thailand.
Are there signs that these protests might change things in Myanmar, might change the current circumstances?
I think there's a wide range of scenarios that are possible in Myanmar right now. There tends to be an assumption that things will settle into past patterns, but we've never seen this level of opposition in Myanmar before. The military is under pressure that they've never experienced before. And I spoke earlier when the line wasn't so good, and it may just be worth repeating. The civil disobedience movement in Myanmar has really brought the economy to its knees and really brought the military to the precipice. There's a real question as to whether or not the military will be able to sustain this coup and remain in power because of the way that the strikes have brought the economy to a standstill. We're looking at a very likely financial crisis and a run on the banks and the currency in the next weeks and months, and an economy that is basically just subsisting right now in terms of mutual support, people trading with people that they know. And so that is really unusual. It's not something that we've seen in Myanmar in the past. And in the most optimistic scenario, that could actually lead to a kind of democratic breakthrough. Some would say in Myanmar, a revolution that would see the 2008 constitution that entrenched the military's role in politics, would see that abrogated and a new constitution written that takes into account the concerns of various ethnic groups around Myanmar, around the periphery of Myanmar in particular, and also the democratic aspirations of Burmans in the center of Myanmar. So it's really a wide range of possibilities right now. And there is an opportunity for ASEAN and Malaysia and the international community to influence those outcomes by the actions that they take in the next several weeks.
So what developments then might we anticipate?
Well, I spoke earlier about, you know, the worst case scenario, which would be a high intensity conflict, civil war in the center of Myanmar. That would be, again, just devastating, not only for Myanmar, but for the region. There's also the possibility of a democratic breakthrough. There are many possibilities in between. And, you know, one would be that of a junta that is ultimately through brute force, sheer violence, able to sustain its will in the center of Myanmar. We'd see many people go into exile, many refugees in neighboring countries, not quite as many as we would see in a situation of civil war, but many. And then you would see them really struggle to control the periphery of the country, as Myanmar's army has struggled to control the periphery of the country for most of its existence, but probably losing territory, losing control, and this being a significant issue on the international agenda for some time to come. I think one concern for Malaysia and for ASEAN in that scenario would be that it would be very difficult for Myanmar to remain a member of ASEAN, because most other countries, most outside powers, the European Union, the United States, European Union member countries, the UK, would really resist coming to ASEAN meetings and allowing ASEAN to continue to set the diplomatic agenda of the region. And so that really threatens ASEAN's centrality in the diplomatic architecture of the region in ways that would be really negative for Malaysia's foreign policy interests.
Aaron, thanks for that analysis.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Aaron Connolly, research fellow at the International Institute for Strategic Studies, sharing his insights on the situation currently in Myanmar. Keep those thoughts coming. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after the news, we have Popcorn Culture, where we'll be revisiting the 1978 Superman, the first ever Superman on screen. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.